if we are holding people to a standard of their for their entire lives for stuff that they did when they were 15, wow, we're in trouble. You know what's happening here? I'm sorry. I've got New Year's hair, you guys. It's New Year's hair. Okay, so what's happening? What's going on? What's shaking?
Well, I got people. Ilaria is still in the news.
We should probably get her off the plate first, and then we'll give you all the depressing news about Georgia and and kids getting booted out of Tennessee and things like that. We'll get to that. But first, yes. Ilaria. Ilaria.
Because so there's some genealogist apparently who really went back and dug into her background to see her Spanish roots.
There's none.
Wow. Not a one. In fact, her roots actually go to England, Ireland, and Germany.
You got to be kidding me with this.
No. And the best part is that her parents look like this. For those of you listening, it's basically Dr. Fauci and some blonde lady. That's her parents.
Those are her parents. Now, I did see, because I lived in Boston, and I did see, I lived in Boston for a summer back in 1993 on Commonwealth Avenue, if anybody is from Boston out there, downtown, because I went to Harvard for the summer. I'm really sorry. It was a terrible place. And she grew up in Beacon Hill. Now, Beacon Hill is like this really swanky area down there. And she grew up in like a $4 million house. You see that white, beautiful house? It's also on Daily Mail. It was splashed on Daily Mail. And I'm like, dude, she grew up in like this, not that there's anything wrong with that, but she kind of makes it sound like she grew up in, you know.
Totally makes it sound like that.
Right. And so, I mean, you're kind of like, seriously, you grew up in Beacon Hill, like, give me a break. I mean, everybody knows, anybody that's from that area knows that that's like a swank area. Yeah. So.
And maybe don't pretend that you don't know the English word for cucumber.
Right. I mean, come on.
And the
fact that she did it on television, it's just so cringe. It's so completely awkward and cringe. Why would you do that?
I don't know. But there are, remember I told you, few days ago that like so many people are making fun of her on social media. This is my favorite. So here, look at this. I have to play.
I thought it was just a still. You get to play
this has gotten to my cabeza. You know, I'm just wearing this because I'm just a TikTok user, you know, or as they say in Boston, a Luther de TikTok. Go. It's not like I would ever like run off and like marry a celebrity or anything, you know? Ay, Dios mío. Also, tengo hambre. I forgot to have my cena, how you say, my dinner.
My dinner.
What is she doing? Is she joking?
Totally. That's just somebody making fun. There are hundreds of these.
Okay, so this is
making fun of her. Okay,
she looks exactly like her.
I know, that's why it's so perfect.
What in the world is so incredibly perfect? So she needs to be like, ¿cómo se dice Alec in Espanol?
Right.
In Espanol.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. Couldn't happen to a nicer family though, right?
Right.
I mean, all of this hoopla could not happen. And I'm just waiting for Alec to try to start, you know, attempting to beat up anybody that dares to say anything about his wife because he's so violent, you know?
Oh, I know. He'll beat up a reporter over this for sure.
And he'll beat up a woman reporter, right?
And then he'll be like, shut up, you little pig. That's what he'll say.
Remember when he said that to his daughter, Ireland? Remember, everybody just blocks that out. And he's like the darling of the left, you know?
I know.
They're like, we love women, except for that one time, and then another time, and then that other time, and then that time over there, and that time, and that time too. Yeah. This is the thing about them. They're always making exceptions for liberals, right?
I know.
Yeah, totally.
Ridiculous. All right. So I think we've exhausted that. Yeah.
Let's never talk about it again.
Let us never speak of this again.
We're going to wash it away in 2020, you guys.
So you talked to some Georgia people who are freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of freaking out. Like, I had a friend of mine. I don't think he'll mind if I read this message that he sent to me because we were going back and forth about Georgia. He's a good friend of mine. We'll just call him K, kind of like in Men in Black. We'll call him Agent K. He may be watching right now, but lovely friend of mine from high school. And he wrote this, and I thought it was very, I loved it. It was dead on. He put, the survival of our republic is dependent on the folks running things being honest, and they aren't anymore. He said, when you've convinced people that their opponents are Nazis, election fraud becomes heroic. And it's true. It's like, this is the thing that the left has done. The left has convinced people of lies. They have the media in their pocket, and they've spent the past 4 years convincing all of these, what we call the numb and dumbs, right?
Yeah.
Of a lie, of lots of lies. You know, the Russian thing is a perfect example. The Russia thing. People bought into that garbage for years, right? And they're like, oh yeah, it's so true. It's all true. And it wasn't
That doesn't matter that there's no evidence. They get told it often enough and they just believe it.
Exactly. If you say it over and over again, these people just believe all this garbage, and they do. I mean, I have friends who were conservative that started watching CNN and MSNBC and all this stuff, and they started buying into mm-hmm. the garbage because they want so badly to be woke, you know? So as much as we've seen several people that have come to the conservative side, and they're like, wow, these people are liars. I think there's just as many people who have gone to the dark side and they've started to believe the garbage because you're inundated. I mean, if you just even have an inkling of, I'm going to go watch CNN and watch MSNBC and just, you know, maybe tune into this garbage. If you watch it over and over again, if you're weak minded at all, or even if, you know, you just are just numb, you start becoming numb to it.
Apolitical. Then you're like a perfect target.
Great point.
The white guilt thing and just like the woke guilt thing is a huge thing. I mean, it has a huge power over people who wouldn't ordinarily even think themselves that they could be swayed that way, but they can.
And it's easier, right? Yeah. It's easier right now to be a liberal than it is to be a Republican, because that's the groupthink. The groupthink is, you know, Republicans are bad. Republicans are racist. They're sexist. They're homophobes. They're all these things. Why would you want to be that? Why would you want to be all those horrible things that we say that they are, even though it's all a bunch of bullshit?
Right.
It's like, why would you want to be all those things? And so people are like, well, I might as well just be a liberal because it's so much easier. And celebrities are liberals. And all these other pretty people are liberal. So I'm going to go ahead and be a liberal because it's easy, you know, and it's cool. It's not cool anymore to be a conservative, right?
And you don't get shamed and guilted when you're a liberal.
Right.
I mean, except for when they start eating their own, which is always super fun.
Except for when you're Eladia.
Right. Exactly. I mean, then you're just screwed.
Right. We're totally the counterculture now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just have to tell you guys that I just got this text from Rob that says he's talking to Chris Hansen's publicist, and we're going to have Chris Hansen on the show.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Rob is like obsessed with To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
So that's going to probably happen this week.
That's funny.
That'll be fun. All right. Let's talk about this Tennessee thing.
Yeah. Girl, I was outraged by that because I went to the University of Tennessee one. So I saw the story and I'm like, what is happening to Tennessee? Of course, it's not just, I don't think it's just, you know, a Tennessee thing. This is across the board. It was the New York Post, right? It was the New York Post.
It was the Times.
It was the New York Times. I'm sorry.
Newspaper of record.
That's right. The New York Post I actually like. But the New York Times, you know, they actually enabled this high school kid to engage in cancel culture. And so and this is something that happened or something that she did when she was 15. And I'm assuming she's what, around 18, 19 years old now, because she was accepted to the University of Tennessee. She became a cheerleader. She got on the cheerleading squad, which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, she's all like, yay, I'm going to be a cheerleader. I'm going to go to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great. Yay, rah. And then, you know, this guy at this exact moment, he waited. It's like he sat on this. This kid sat on this and then gave it to the New York Times. The New York Times is like, oh, this is going to be great because we're going to ruin this girl's life.
Well, and by this, what we're talking about is that when she was 15 and got her learner's permit, she said on a little video, she said, I can drive, N-words. And so, and this kid, this Jimmy Galligan, he's the guy, he's the kid that saw the tape, saved it, just like you said, and sat on it. Sat on it until literally now.
Until she worked her butt off, got into school, got on the squad, like, which is, like I said, not easy to do. And then he's like, I'm going to ruin her life because I can use this liberal publication to help me. You know,
well, he didn't know that New York Times was going to pick it up. That's like a whole other piece of the story.
But they did.
Well, and the fact that they ran it is insane.
It's insane, but I'm not at all surprised.
He publicized it to, like, you know, other schoolmates, and then had a whole campaign of people write University of Tennessee letters. And then Tennessee, at first, they tried to say, well, you're definitely not going to be a cheerleader, and we really kind of want you to leave the school entirely. Right. We don't want you here.
Which is bogus.
It's so bogus. And so finally she was like, all right, and she left. And then the New York Times picked up the story and actually ran with it. So now she's at a community college, right? Yeah. Her life's already—it's totally derailed the way that she thought it would be. Right. But now it's 10 times worse because now everybody at her new community college
is
going to
know
about that.
Yeah. Right.
Anna's going to know who that other kid is too.
Right. Right. And I'm not saying what she said was right. No. But to have her life ruined like this, you know, kids say stupid crap. What did you do when you were 15?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if we are holding people to a standard of their entire lives for stuff that they did when they were 15, wow, we're in trouble. We're in trouble as a society, as a culture, because, you know, teenagers do stupid crap.
We all did the crap. Right. And we all said really dumb stuff.
I mean, they say stupid crap. They do stupid crap. I'm just like, oh my God, what are we doing?
Yeah, the problem is now, compared to when we were growing up, every last bit of it is documented. And so you can sit on stuff like this. You can save it and use it against people. And that is a whole different world than what we were in. You know, it's completely
different. You're right. I mean, I looked at my daughter, who's almost 11. And I said, you know what? Keep everything off of social media. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to put anything on social media, just put cutesy little pictures of yourself or like of your friends that, you know, and be like, yay, life is great. honest to God, because I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing to people. They are ruining people's lives. And this is a product of the left. I mean, it really is. You cannot get around that. The left has done this. They have created cancel culture. And eventually I would think that it's going to bite them in the ass.
Yeah, so, like it's doing to Ilaria.
Right.
Bringing her up again.
Right. Okay, we should say it's the last day. It's the last day we're going to bring her up. But I mean, it makes me sad that University of Tennessee didn't have a backbone in this.
I know. You know? That's the worst.
God, shame on you, right?
Wouldn't it have been an amazing story if the University of Tennessee had come out with a statement saying, yeah, this girl made a mistake when she was 15. She has apologized. I'm assuming that she has. Right. And we're not going to partake in cancel culture. We are exempting ourselves from it because we believe in forgiving people.
Right.
We're even going to forgive this idiot 18-year-old kid who sat on it because he was a dumb idiot too. How about we just try that and let people move on with their lives?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, you and I are good friends with Nathan, our friend Nathan, who's a Black man, who is a huge fan of our show, of you know, our site, everything. He may even be here now. I don't know. He'll probably watch this eventually. I was chatting with him online the other day, and we had this giant discussion about forgiveness and you know, about everything that's happened over the past year. And I said, you know, it takes more strength to forgive somebody than it does to hate somebody. And I think absolutely it does. And I said, I think that's why, and I know, I know that's why there's so much hate in this country right now, because people just aren't strong enough to forgive, to look at other people and be like, you know what? I forgive you. If you are genuinely sorry about something, I forgive you. It's fine. You know, we'll move forward. We're all human beings. Let's just get, and too bad that University of Tennessee is a big giant wuss ball that they can't you know what I mean? They're the adults. They're the adults in charge. They should be setting an example and saying to this girl and saying to, I guess, alumni and everybody else, we believe in the power of forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, if she does anything while she's at our school and she's a big fat jerk, if she's a big fat jerk, we'll boot her out of here. She better be better set a good example because she's going to be a cheerleader. And so she's representative of the school, but for crying out loud, I mean, she earned her way in there. Give her a shot.
And the worst part is when the New York Times actually, you know, brings more light to the story instead of just, I mean, it's over, right? Like it should be over to the extent that she's already kicked out of school. She's trying to create whatever kind of life she can build for herself at this community college. Just she's faced enough punishment for saying a word wrong.
Right. When she was 15, when she was a kid.
Yeah. And now the fact that her name, I mean, the New York Times has made her name a household name. This other kid, Jim Galleon's now a household name. And that's who should have known better are the adults at the New York Times.
Yeah.
They're the ones who made it a million times worse. Right. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable that we're even having this conversation.
And furthermore, you know, I know we've had lots of conversations about that word. Can we just not, everybody just needs to stop saying that word. Everybody.
Yeah, enough of this, like, oh, Black people are taking back their power by saying it.
It's stop. You know, like, I listen to Kanye West a lot, like, when I get on my bike, because I actually like some of his music, sue me. And when I listen to Pandora, it'll get, you know, when you listen to Pandora, it gives you other suggestions of other music. Right. And I don't like a lot of the other music that they tell me that I should be listening to based on the fact that I like Kanye West, because so much of the other rap music has that word in it. And it's other people I just simply don't like, because I like Kanye, but I don't like a lot of the other artists. I just don't. And it's because of that. It's because it's like, I just don't like that word. Right. I don't want to hear it. And then I'm thinking to myself the other night as I'm on my bike, I'm like going, what? Why do these people use this word so much? It's completely unnecessary. And if it's so offensive, why is it used so much? Why? Yeah. Why?
And then the kids that get in trouble for singing along to the lyrics, that's the thing that pisses me off more than anything else.
How
is anybody in trouble for that? They are celebrating the music by singing along.
Right.
So, and how only white people get in trouble, it's insane.
And these people, these artists are wealthy by not just by Black people buying the music. They're wealthy because of everybody buying the music. So, and everybody enjoying the music. So I'm like, somebody's going to have to reconcile that with me. I don't get it.
Yeah. Who was it that we talked about like a year or 2 years ago, even? I think it was Drake or somebody else. I can't remember who brought that girl up on stage to sing with him. He was like, oh my God, totally starstruck. She sang along the words and then he berated her in front of the whole audience. I was just, I mean, what in the hell?
What are you doing? Yeah. It's like, what? She's up there. She went to your, she paid for your concert. Yeah. She's probably one of your biggest fans. She knows every word to your song that is a terrible song. And so she gets up there, she sings it because you bring her up there and then you berate her for singing it. Yeah. Like what kind of?
That was not Drake. I don't know. I could be wrong about it being Drake, you guys. So don't like take that and run with it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Drake either. Yeah, but to be honest, I've listened to some, like, that's who's been suggested to me, and I don't like his stuff either.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
No, I wouldn't.
That's who it was. Yeah. But that's just another example of how insane the double standard is. How absolutely hypocritical these Black artists are. Don't be offended by a word that you use on a regular basis.
Right.
The whole argument of, oh, well, we're using it because it gives us back the power over it. Shut up. No, it does not.
Right.
It's still a terrible word.
It's a terrible word. Quit using it. If it's a terrible word, then it's terrible across the board.
Right.
Not just
based on who says it. Yeah. I mean, what a bunch of crap that is.
I will never understand that. So, you know, that's that.
Dr. Fauci is saying that we need to brace ourselves for the extra super 70% more contagious version of COVID that's coming.
He said Dr. Fauci, and I immediately started thinking about what I'm going to eat for New Year's dinner. I'm not even kidding. I was like, am I going to have Thai food? Am I going to have Chinese? What am I having tonight? Like, I tuned out. You said Dr. Fauci. I was like, I can't concentrate on what you're saying. Were you guys listening to her? Because I can't.
Anyway, there's four cases of it. Two in California, two in Colorado. So it's here. There's no getting around it. It's here. And the question is this current vaccine going to work on it? Or is it going to need a whole new vaccine? Like, what are we doing?
It's a fantastic question. But listen, I'm sure that Biden can handle it.
Well, Biden can handle it. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he like has an actual magic wand.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he and Kamala are just going to come in with their capes and they're going to handle it. They're going to handle it so much better. I'm sure they're going to think of something really new and different that Trump never thought of, like, you know, like masks and like, I don't know, like lockdowns. Oh my God. We've never heard of those things.
That's so innovative.
It is, isn't so innovative. It?
Do you remember when a bunch of people were putting on social media yesterday an old quote of Kamala's saying, if Donald Trump tells me to take his vaccine, I'm not gonna, side by side with her getting the vaccine.
Right, right.
I was loving those so much. I was like, it is still a vaccine that was developed under the Trump administration.
It was.
You had.
They can all suck it. They can all suck it. This is the thing. They're all taking it. They're all lining up and they're all excited to take it. And I'm like, that's Trump's vaccine, biatches. All of it. And then meanwhile, like, we're all out here kind of waiting for it because we'll be the last ones to get it. You realize that, right? We'll be the last ones. If we want it, I mean, if you want it, you'll be the last one to get it. I saw that the list of like things you have to get it, if you're just a regular person and not like a government official or a celebrity or, you know, somebody with a comorbidity, right? Because you have to have a comorbidity. One of the comorbidities is obesity. Did you know that?
For the vaccine?
Yes.
For the vaccine?
Yes. Yes.
You're not supposed to take it.
Right.
If in fact you are obese?
No. That's one of the things that if you are obese, you get it. That you're like you're in line. Like you're fast tracked for it.
Okay.
So if you're fat, you get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's the thing. I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, like, listen, it's like if you have a comorbidity, like if you have diabetes or like heart issues or cancer, you know, stuff like that, like your regular comorbidities that'll fast track you to the front of the line. My husband and I were discussing this last night and he was reading me like the list of comorbidities. And one of those comorbidities is if you're fat. Like if you're obese, and I was like
a certain level of obesity,
there's a BMI there's a BMI on there. And I can't remember what it is. I think it's like, I'm going to mess this up. I think it's like 30, what your BMI of 30 or something. I don't know. There's a BMI range. I don't know what it is, but I thought that was very interesting. So, you know, heavy people get pushed to the front of the line and I'm like, wow, that's it. So, you know, it's just kind of, yeah.
Okay, because I was misunderstanding you at first, thinking that's one of the like things that you shouldn't get the vaccine if you have.
Oh no. Like you get special treatment if you are obese. I mean, in a way, you kind of do because you're pushed to the front of the line.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is in fact a comorbidity.
Right.
So there you go. If you are overweight. Like if you're obese and you really want the vaccine, then congrats, because you get to get into the line. So there it is.
Right. I got nothing else to say about that.
So you're going to love this. I saw this headline. I was like, oh my God, Daisy's going to love this. So
what am I going to love? I need something to love on the last day of the year.
Okay. Are you ready for this headline?
Yes,
this
comes from
email. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's first holiday special episode.
Holiday.
Of their Archwell audio climbs up UK Spotify podcast chart to seventh place after starting at 17th below Deep Sleep Sounds of Whale Noises.
I love that.
They're way ahead of us. But
I don't know. Right. They're still doing better than us. So, you know, I wish them all the best. What do you think about that, Stuart the Brit?
Yes, Stuart is in here.
He said, "What if he asked about the vaccine? What if you only have a fat head?" I love that question. And you know, I think that you're exempt, Stuart. I think that you do. I mean, I'm not a professional when it comes to this whole, I don't think you get moved to the front of the line if in fact your head is the only thing that is giant and obese.
So I need to know, Stuart, if you listened to their holiday special and yes. what it consisted of, because it had to have been something other than deep sleep whale noises.
And can you tell that Harry still, in fact, has no bowls? Can you tell? Is there a way to tell? And can you see it? Or is it just like us where you can only see us from like the neck up?
Right.
Is it something where you can tell that he's completely void of a testicular area? I don't know if that's a thing you can.
Oh my God. I love that though.
In the podcast or not.
And again, 30 million. I think their deal is like $30 million.
We didn't get that deal, you guys.
No,
we didn't. So everybody knows, we didn't get the deal.
We got crab cakes, though.
Yes, we did. We got crab cakes.
We got crab cakes.
It's so funny. And our producer was like, "I gave the chicks crabs."
Yeah, I know. I was like, "You totally did that, so you could use that line, and I will not believe otherwise." And so I know that's what he got, but it was very nice. So our Radio America peeps got us crab cakes. They came in the mail yesterday. Very excited. That's one of my family's favorites.
Isn't that the sweetest? So sweet. That's the sweetest thing for New Year's. I thought that was very, very nice. You know what else we get? We got $20 from CNews.
That's what we got. I love it.
We got. So what else is happening?
People have been sending us Venmo too, just out of the blue for no reason. Let me just tell you what happens when we get a Venmo. It's okay, Ella. You're fine. This is amazing. So from Shannon. Shannon said, "Happy New Year. Thank you for all you do. You seriously helped me through 2020. I hope you guys are doing well. Daisy, I hope you're enjoying your job. Love you guys." And then a little emoji of a champagne bottle with 2021 on it. I mean, people are so impossibly nice that it hurts my heart.
You guys, we love you. It's been one hell of a year. Lots of changes and lots of weirdness. It's definitely not been my best year. I'm not going to lie.
I don't think, I mean, someone can say that. Like if someone out there is like, 2020 has been my best year, massive kudos and congrats. Yeah. How have you done that?
Props to that person. I mean, in fact, my husband, I don't know if you saw the beginning of the video, my husband was coming in and out of here. We're actually going to show our house today because we're going to be moving to Texas in the next year. In 2021, our goal is to move to Texas. So we're showing our house. A lot of things are happening. Changes are happening in our life. And, you know, I'm hoping that 2021, I know that 2021 is going to be better. I just know it. I know it. I feel it.
I feel like you're jinxing it. Don't.
Oh, I'm not jinxing it. There's no way that 2021 can be worse than 2020.
That sounds like a dare to 2021. I don't think that's a good
idea. It's not a dare. That is an absolute feeling. I mean, I just know it. You know that I have my feelings. And you know what? I kind of felt like last year I knew that something was going to be bad about 2020. I just knew it. Like I had a feeling about 2020, like something was not going to be right in my gut. And this year, I feel like things are going to be good. I think that we're not going to get over this COVID stuff right away. But I think that people need to start getting a backbone. You know,
yeah.
we need to start taking our power back. I don't want to sound like, you know, Tony Robbins or anything, but we need to start like remembering that we're freaking Americans. You know,
got to have more business owners doing those joint, like collective. We're not taking this anymore kind of
right.
stuff. That's
right.
What really has to happen more and more.
Yeah. Remember who you are, y'all. We all need to remember who we are.
This is America.
Right. It's America. Don't forget it. And remember who those people are in Washington. Remember that there are employees. We are the employers. And we need to just remember that, you know, Americans are stronger than this. And, you know, I think that a lot of people have become really complacent. And so this past year was a cathartic year. It was a reminder of a lot of things. I think a lot of people were reminded of, you know, how important family is and how important friends are. And, you know, we were reminded of what's important. But now we need to kind of, you know, kind of get up and we need to remember that, you know, a lot of these people have been taking advantage of us for way too long. And it's time to go, no, You don't get to do that anymore.
Right. All right. So I don't think that we're going to have another live until Monday, right? No.
Until 2021, you guys.
Yes, 2021.
And so this year is going to be weird because Mock is doing 3 hours on the radio now. And so
starting Monday, that's right.
Right, starting Monday. I'm glad I had to tell everybody that instead of you. So
yeah, I'm supposed to be promoting that.
Right. So she's going to be doing 3 hours on the radio, and I will be still working my day job, obviously. And so I think we're probably going to start doing lives. Well, we're still going to be doing them in the morning.
Yeah.
But our is anything going to be changing for you? Nothing?
Nothing? Just the time that you and I record
our podcast
live. Yeah. That time will be changing. And by the way, if you haven't listened to this week's, our producer put together a really good year in review type
of best moments. I haven't listened to that. Yeah,
make sure to listen to that. It's the Mock and Daisy Show. It's the weekly one. So if you're subscribed to our audio podcast, you're going to see that come up in your, you know, list of available ones.
Yeah.
And so make sure to listen to that because I'm sure it's a good one. And we'll be back in business next week.
And you guys, make sure that you subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube and subscribe to our podcast. It's super important that you're subscribed to stuff because people don't know who we are and care unless you're subscribed. So, and our the guy who sent us the crab cakes, he really likes it when people subscribe. Because that's what matters to them, and it'll continue to give us our pay in crab. So, if you can continue to do that and tell your friends about our podcast, that'd be really great. So subscribe to our podcast, and then go to our website. It has all the stuff at the top for the podcast stuff, and then make sure that you are following us on Instagram at Chicks on Right, at Twitter at Chicks on Right, and we're on Parler and all the things too. So
all the things
at Chicks on Right, and we hope you guys are safe tonight. Actually, have a lot of fun. If you're going out to have fun, have fun. And if you can't, if you can't like be good, just be safe.
That's right.
That's what I always tell my kids. If you can't be good, be safe. Right. So party down for us, because at least for me, I don't know what you're doing, Mock, but we're gonna
go out to dinner.
Okay.
We did make a reservation. So we're going to go out to dinner, and then we're going to come back home and read all of our positivity jar stuff from the year.
Yeah.
And then maybe stay up until midnight. We'll see how I do.
We're probably
I
totally did not sleep in. We were up. My daughter has been having 2-a-day swim practices. So we were up really, really early. So we probably, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. We'll see what we can. 10-year-olds have a lot of energy. So I may be able to stay up, but she may force me to stay up, and I'll be like with toothpicks with my eyeballs. So I may be able to stay up, but we're just going to get some takeout and come home and have some Thai food. It'll be fun. So
Holly just sent $4.99. You guys are so great. Keep up the great work. Guys, thank you so much, everybody.
You guys are just
ridiculous.
We love you guys so much. We're so very appreciative for you, and we cannot wait to see what 2021 holds for everybody. So mwah, we love you guys. Happy New Year. Bring it in. Last hug of 2020.
Last hug of 2020.
Extra hard. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye, everybody.